All right, listen up, boys. The ribs are going to be on the smoker. Debbie's making her world-famous lemon squares. And neither one of you bums have yet to RSVP to my New Year's Eve party to watch the ball drop.
Watch the ball drop?
Yeah.
When in the last millennium have you stayed up past 7:30, old man? And besides that, did you get those ribs approved by your cardiologist?
I did. He's bringing the hot links.
Sure, yeah. So he can charge you for another stent.
And by the way, not that it's any of your beeswax, but the Queen and I, we have plans for later today.
Ooh. Look, I don't mean to be spilling tea here, but your wife does not need to be on the back of a Harley Davidson. Some wigs just don't look good in a helmet.
We're taking the Toyota.
Oh.
Yeah. And we're going to the cemetery to wish a happy new year to our real friends, because that's where all of them are, including the fourth leaf to our lucky clover.
Domino Dan. Playing baseball with Jesus.
Dan always came to my New Year's parties every year. I didn't even have to invite him. He just came, unlike the two of you.
I used to ring in the new year with a bang. I did. So I had big thoughts of better and more. I'd say to myself, maybe this year will be different. Huh. You ever have that year, boys? You know the one where everything went right. Yeah, me neither. Tell you what I did run into was God. His mercies. They are new every morning. That's what the good book says, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's a do-over. Every day is a do-over. That's what New Year's is to me. It is a gift from God of 365 new beginnings. Now, who don't want that?
Amen.
Romans 12, verse 15 starts out with, "We rejoice with those who rejoice." We're going to start our teaching time this morning by celebrating and remembering so many good things that took place in 2024. All of our fellowship gatherings, our chili cook-off, our summer picnic, our hymns and ice cream, our men's retreat, our women's retreat, all of the good gatherings that we have together is very, very worthy to celebrate and to remember and to take with us into 2025 as we continue to grow in our faith and in our love and in relationships with one another. But we also celebrate baptisms that took place in 2024. John and Megan Howe, Darren Thorne and Elizabeth Shardle, Daniel Densmore, Joshua Densmore, Caitlin Mutchie, Shayla Dawson, Gracie Mann, David Thorne, Jamie Hoskins, and Bob Dean, all baptized into Christ in 2024. Absolutely. Our new members, Dave and Lida Schuckert, and Lynn and Rich Fosso. So we celebrate and we rejoice. But there's also a second part to Romans 12, verse 15. We mourn with those who mourn. And we take just a few moments to remember those who had lost loved ones this week, or whom we lost within our church body. We remember Linda Skunta's brother, Michael. We remember Ron Sathry with Barbara and Kelly Hobbs. We remember Jenya Bailey with John and Memphis Bailey. We remember Linda Vanek's mom. And we remember Miss Paulette Gates' sister and Diane Burton's sister. So let's take a few moments in silence to remember those, to pray for those whom I have mentioned or maybe somebody that I failed to mention. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the year of 2024. Thank you, Father, for your steadfast love and that your mercies are new every morning. May we carry that with us into 2025. Father, thank you for so much that we have to celebrate that took place within our body this year. Thank you for the baptisms. Thank you for the work, Holy Spirit, of in our lives and in our church body of drawing us closer to you. Thank you for new members. Thank you, Father, for new deacons. Thank you for a new elder in Dave. Thank you, Father, for your work in our church body. All praise and honor and glory be unto you. And Father, we are mindful of family members who have lost loved ones. We are mindful of church members that we have lost here in 2024 that are, maybe they're playing baseball with Jesus. But Father, we pray for the Bailey family. We pray for the Hobbs family. We pray for the Skunta family. We pray for the Vanek family, for the Gates family, and for the Burton family. And we ask that you continue to give them your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. 2024 has been about a time. It has been about a season. It has been about focusing on specific areas, shining the spotlight on specific areas in our lives for which to be mindful of, to grow in knowledge, to grow in wisdom. And all of it has been centered on one particular passage from 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Our 2024 sermonic journey has been all about this particular passages and all the different ways that the branches have kind of spread out for us to pay attention to. Understanding the times that we live in and having the knowledge and the wisdom and the will in how to respond to those times. Because that which you and I give our attention to, it forms us. It shapes us. We develop these patterns. And what we give these patterns to, what we give our attention to, it shapes us, it fills us, and it forms us. And this is going to carry on into 2025. But I hope you take this particular statement and reflect upon it for 2024. All right, God, in which ways have you formed me this year? In which ways have I allowed you to shape me, to fill me, to transform me into who you desire for me to be? Because I still need to understand the times that we're living in. And I still need to know what to do with the times that are given to me. So that's how we started out 2024. Understanding the times. And there was this other quote that kind of started our year. It's from Dallas Willard, and it has to do with spiritual formation, which is going to be a major, major theme in 2025. Because in order for Jesus to become greater and I become lesser, We're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to posture ourselves. We're going to have to position ourselves in such a way so that Jesus can become greater and I can become lesser. But Dallas Willard has this to say about spiritual formation. It's not about behavior modification. That will come. The behavior will change. But it is about changing the sources of our behavior. What are we filling ourselves with? What's grabbing my attention? Why does that matter? Because it fills us, it shapes us, and it forms us. And when we pay attention to that, when the sources of our behavior change or modified, the behavior will follow suit. So for February, it was all about love, the school of love, focusing strategically on a couple of passages. The first one out of John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 was another verse we focused on in February. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to, in response, lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. May this be a verse that we carry in with us to 2025. We continue to know what love is by keeping our attention and our focus on Jesus and his cross and him laying down his life for us. And in response to that, we love our brothers and sisters well. And the last passage that we looked at in February was Mark 12, 30 and 31, which will become our praying verse that we'll do alongside with the Lord's Prayer beginning next Sunday. It starts out with the Shema, but then Jesus adds another verse into it, in which it becomes what Scott McKnight has phrased as the Jesus Creed. We are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of our mind and with our strength. I'll change that to our just so it flows better. But this is the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So again, we carry into 2025 the direction of what love is really truly all about. For Jesus to become greater, for us to become less, we love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We position and posture ourselves daily so that that can happen. So that we are prepared to love our brothers and sisters and love our neighbor as ourself. March was all about the King Has 1 Week to Live, where we focus on different episodes during the last week of Jesus' life, which led us through Easter and into April, which was all about the book of Daniel that took us into the summer. And, there's one thing I forgot, sir. There was a statement about love that, thank you, that I found very, very helpful. Again, this is a definition of love that Scott McKnight gave, that many of you have come to me and you said, I find this definition of love very, very compelling and very, very helpful. So I want to remind it of us, to us, one more time. It'll come up again, I promise. But love is a rugged commitment to be with someone, to be for someone, with Christ as the standard for as long as it takes. With all the definitions of love that are thrown out there, I find this one to be very, very helpful. Because that, if we pay attention to Jesus' love for us, for God's love for us, many of us in this room could say, yep, this is God's love for me. This rugged commitment to not give up on me when I've probably given him every reason to. But because of his steadfast love, because his mercies are new every morning. He refuses to give up on me. He stubbornly refuses to give up on me. Why? Because he has this rugged commitment. Because he is love. To be with me, to be for me, with Christ as the standard for as long as it takes. And many of you have applied this to relationships in your life. That I'm going to love this person. I'm going to be stubbornly committed to them. I'm going to have this rugged commitment to them, to be with them and to be for them, not based upon my standards, but Jesus' standards, with Christ as the standard for as long as it takes. Love, love that definition of love. Back to Daniel, which took up major part all of our spring and into our summer, where two statements kept revolving within each episode and with each character that's found within the book of Daniel. The first one is this idea of living for God in a foreign, potentially hostile culture requires discernment and wisdom. And when you look at the stories in Daniel, you find Daniel and the three floating back with this. They were living in a hostile, dangerous environment, constantly looking for wisdom and discernment about, okay, how do I respond to this? What do I do when this happens? What do I do when this takes place? What do I do when the government overreaches? What do I do when the government doesn't do what they're supposed to be doing? How do I respond, Daniel and the three, to such events and episodes and times in life? And what we see Daniel and the three doing over and over again is going after wisdom, going after discernment, finding the right way to do the right thing, paying attention to the times that they were living in and knowing how to respond, learning to live wisely with a determined conviction and undefiled courage in preparation for what was to come next. These are things that we take with us into 2025. These are things that we apply on a daily basis. What does wisdom look like in this situation? How might I discern well in this situation to know how to do the right way for the right thing? That is and was our journey through Daniel. July. Jared led us through a 2-week journey of surveying how to follow Jesus in a toxic political climate, which we heard lots of good comments on, to keep us grounded and keep us focused of what November was all about. But this 2-week journey of how to continue to be followers of Jesus in the midst of a toxic political climate. August into September, we journeyed through the book of 1 Peter. With 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 always in our focus as we kind of dissected that entire letter. To this you were called, Peter reminds us, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. That is kind of the anchor of what Peter was communicating to followers of Jesus then and to us today. To this, us, y'all, were called. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. Not just you can say, thank you, Jesus, we appreciate that. Good job, fist bump, high five, you did it. No. But according to Peter, we should be doing what? Following in his steps. So if there's something to take with us into 2025 about being a follower of Jesus, letting go, time to kill, time to throw away, sacrificing, following in Jesus' footsteps, may you be reminded that to this you were called. To this we all were called. And then God can 2025, which, if records hold true, was one of the best years for God can that we've ever had. Am I overstepping, Harold? Am I? One of our best years that we've ever had with our missionary kind of donation, if you will, or our service to our missionaries. And with that, I have good news to announce that we have included Brady Nist as one of our new missionaries that we are going to start supporting on an every year basis at a Kent State University. So absolutely, Harold's clapping, so we should follow suit. This is good news that we are going to be supporting Brady. And into October, in a series that some of you liked and some of you didn't, because it deals with a very uncomfortable topic, we spent the majority, all of October, talking about death. And it's something that none of us will be able to avoid unless Jesus returns. And it's an uncomfortable topic. It's an uncomfortable thing to talk about, but the Bible talks about it a lot. And like I said, it's something that none of us will be able to avoid. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This truth statement about life is one reason among many why we pray, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." Because with the second return of Jesus, the second advent of Jesus, death is going to be completely and 1,000% destroyed and done away with, along with every disease, every illness, every hatred, everything that brings about sin in this world will be destroyed at Jesus' second coming, including death here, according to the Apostle Paul. But until that time, we have to deal with it. So how do we deal with it wisely? How do we understand the times that we are living in and know how to respond? When the reality is, we're a little bit deader now than we were when we woke up this morning. And that's just the truth about life. So how do we live in response to that? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 gives us a spotlight to pay attention to, something that the cross of Jesus accomplished, something that Jesus' death and resurrection accomplished. We talk about the destruction of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, and rightly so. We talk about peace, Ephesians chapter 2, the reconciliation between people groups that the cross of Jesus brought together, and rightly so. But according to the Hebrews author, something else took place on the cross. The children have flesh and blood. Jesus, too, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. So when we understand the times that we're living in, that we understand that I'm a little bit more deader now than I was when I woke up this morning, what do I keep my focus on? Because I can easily slide into deep, dark depression. I can easily slide into an Edgar Allan Poe poem and just be there and just be done for. But no, there's something better. There's something bigger. There is hope. There is purpose. There's peace. There's joy. There's love. There's reason. Because the cross of Jesus, according to the Hebrews author, broke the power of him who holds the power of death, the devil, and free those who all of their lives are held in slavery by the fear of death. Why? Because death does not win. Death does not have the final say because of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. That is something to be excited about, church. That is something to put our hope, our joy, our peace, our love, our entire self in. Death does not win. That series led us into a wonderful time of Thanksgiving, where we spent the entire month focusing on this one phrase, doxological gratitude, which is just a fancy way of saying praise thanks. Where every area of our life, every moment of our life, I am focused and I am centered on how can I give praise and thanks to God for this. When you look back over 2024 and you say, God, thank you that this took place. Or God, thank you that I've grown in this area. Or God, thank you that this, or whatever it is. When you fill in those blanks of God, thank you for that. Praise you. Thank you. You are living out doxological gratitude, where you give praise and gratitude. You steer it back from yourself and onto the source of true joy and happiness and peace and love and all of those powerful things. Doxological gratitude. We had a special Sunday where we got to hear from Donna Pittenger, Dave Schuckert, and Zach Sherlock as they shared things with which they were grateful for. I love that annual Sunday that we get to do that. That led us into Advent, where we had our Candles of Advent skits, which were awesome, by the way. Again, thank you to everybody who participated in those skits. Be mindful and be aware, we're going to do another skit in February. I'll have more information to come about that. But since you all loved them and had so much fun doing them, we're going to start doing skits more often. So our next one will be in February. But Advent was all about hope, faith, joy, peace, and love. Powerful, meaningful words that we do not leave with the last year, but we carry over with us into the year to come. Which leads us to 2025. This year, all of our sermons, all of our classes are going to be echoing out of John 3, verse 30, where we focus in on He is greater than I. Now, He is greater than I is a clothing company out of Honolulu, just in case you're at all. But I love this company. They're a faith-based, Christian-based company. So if you're looking for good clothing or good apparel and you're wanting to support a good company, heisgreaterthanI.com. Safe website. Buy their apparel. It's good stuff. But He is greater than I is going to be our direction. And hopefully with every class, with every sermon series, with everything that we do in 2025, as 2026 comes upon us, you are able to purposefully and intentionally look back over 2025 with all of its hills and its valleys and everything in between that is going to happen this year. That you are able to look back and strategically identify, this is how I lived out Jesus is greater than me. This is how I am now a more committed, a more all-in, a deeper, fuller follower of Jesus. Because this, and this. That's what we're hoping for. Another way of saying is we are hoping to grow in discipleship. We are hoping and pursuing and chasing and putting all of our spotlights onto growing into becoming a more deeper and fuller, all-in student, intern, follower of Jesus. And inviting others to join along. We're going to be growing together as disciples of Jesus this year. Everything that we do is going to be focused on that. And this is a huge and, we are going to be equipping one another on how to be disciple makers. In your conversations, at work, at home, wherever it may be. We are going to strategically and intentionally equip one another to be disciple makers. A song that we'll start singing every once in a while. Jared, if we sung this song in a while, has it been a hot moment or hot minute? It's been a little while. There is an old hymn called Nearer My God to Thee. Beautiful, powerful, powerful hymn. That hymn is going to come up often in 2025. It's a song that is driving He is Greater Than I. Because everything we do is going to be about drawing closer and nearer to God. Nearer, my God, to Thee. So, stand with me. Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here. John 3, verse 30. Let's read this one more time as we draw our service to a close. He must become greater. I must become less. One more time. He must become greater. I must become less. Next week, we are going to start our He Must Become Greater, I Must Become Less by diving into the Gospel of John. So if it's been a while since you've looked at the Gospel of John, I encourage you to go ahead and get started in your reading. Start this afternoon. It's raining and it's outside. So what better thing have you got to do than read and get started within the Gospel of John? So that's going to kick us off next week. Let's pray together and then we will sing. During this last song, if you would like to receive prayers from your church family, please come down here and see me. And after the song, we will pray together. If you would like a more closed kind of area, our shepherd and a lady prayer warrior will be out by the prayer room. But let's pray together and then we'll get into some worship. Father, thank you again for today. Thank you for 2024. Thank you, God, for the valleys that you journeyed through with us. Thank you, Father, for the hilltop successes that we had in 2024. And God, how you were ruggedly committed to us through every step of the way. Praise you and thank you for that. God, as we lean into 2025, may our focus be about embracing you. May our focus be about encouraging one another, equipping one another to be sent out to engage the world in Jesus' name. With every conversation, with every action that we have. And God, may our focus continue to be, may our vision continue to be on knowing you, Jesus, and making you known. We can't do this without you, Holy Spirit. We need your help. Please help us. But God, we praise you and we thank you for all that you did in 2024. In Jesus' name, amen. However you need to respond, please do so as we sing together.